Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Come up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every week and it's feeling like a party. Mula Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flexed in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw him up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every week and it's feeling like a party.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth. And with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, how's it going?
It is good, Mari. I feel like I survived war. How are you doing?
I agree. I feel every bit of that. Yeah.
Yeah, Mari, it's good to be here with you. How's your day going?
You know, surviving the holidays, just got back. Very tired, but you know, that's how the cookie crumbles. How about you? How was your holidays?
You know, a good time. I got back yesterday. You know, went to a drag brunch today. You know, got a couple mimosas in, got a little bit of rest. I feel great uh-huh. right now. I'm just happy to talk about war games, to wrap this up, to put a bow in it. And also, I'm a little disappointed that you didn't say that I'm the Becky Lynch to your Bianca Belair.
Okay, well, there you go. You're the Becky Lynch to my Bianca Belair.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The man.
Or the Sami Zayn to my Roman Reigns, or like that.
Very apt. Very apt. If I was quicker, I would have thought of that. But like I said, it's been a long day.
You. I got you.
I'm tired.
Yeah. But if anyone's tuned in, by the way, just like ignore me, like fast forward a few seconds. Mari, I'm trying to stretch out this podcast as much as possible, just to really make it feel like a War Games match. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very, very much a stretch situation, because I mean, we'll see everybody for sticking with us, but I don't feel like this is going to be a long one. Again, I'm jinxing it here, but we went into War Games with like just five matches, and
we left with only five matches.
And so it's just kind of like, which is weird, because I'm like, I wish we had more matches, but then the PLE ended at 11:15, so it still ended like at the normal time, but It felt like it could have added way more matches, or way more like something. Like, it needed a little bit more razzle dazzle, but then also
it
dragged. Like,
yeah, I disagree with you, and I'm disappointed that you're saying this, because Triple H is listening. And okay. I don't want him to be like, oh yeah, we just need to add in a few more. Like, what else, Mari? Actually, let's not even go there.
Many things they could have added.
I'm sure that there's a lot more they could have added. I'm glad that they kept it kind of like slim, dummy thin, if you will.
Okay. Well, Just like we normally do, this is a Survivor Series review podcast where we recap the Survivor Series premium live event. Of course, like we always start, like how we normally do. What is your overall grade for the premium live event here, Matt? Your overall thoughts, more overall thoughts before we get into each event.
Well, damn, I'm like a deer in headlights right now. You know, I would give it a B.
Okay.
Just a solid B. And it's not even because, oh, there we go.
I'm not just Survivor.
Making noises. I had an alarm set. We start before the alarm. Just for you, the listeners. That was wild, though. I didn't realize that the Survivor theme was my alarm. There we go. But yes, a B is what it will get because, you know, Mari, what would be your theme? We'll talk about the details as we go along.
A B isn't that bad. Like, I think that the two War Games matches were very effective. Like, we came here for War Games. Yes. We got War Games.
We did.
Very good, like, storytelling-wise and stuff like that. I think it was just the stuff in the middle that was kind of like, that's what it was. It's just like,
what was it? Could you repeat that, Mari? I think my connection, bro. Wait, I don't know if I heard you.
It was meh. Maybe I'll give it like a B minus.
Oh, okay. Now you're just upstaging me right now.
No, I'm not. This is just my honest opinion. I don't like it gets low enough to give it like a C because I did enjoy it, but I also feel like I said, I feel like I want it more. But I don't know.
You know what? It's kind of tough because, like, as much as it's, I hear you in terms of wanting more. And I think part of it is that we had two matches, each with 10 people in them and 10, like, pretty featured stars. I mean, if you look at the women's division and Team Belair versus Team Bailey, like, there are a few storylines and there's a lot of backstory that was built into that match, which is one reason that was my match of the night. But then, you know, you also have the Bloodline and you got the Bloodline. They typically do their thing together, if not like having a tag team match with the Usos and then like Roman doing his own thing. But you had Sheamus, you had Drew, you had KO, all who could have had different matches, their own matches. So I didn't look at this card thinking, ooh, I wish that anyone was on here. I mean, maybe that's like the one question that I'll ask you. Is there anyone in particular you wish was on this card?
Yeah, I would have loved an Intercontinental Championship match here. Like, I understand that they're in the middle of a World Cup tournament, but they should have done that tournament so it ended here or some way that it could end here so that we could have gotten Gunther on this pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand that. I know Bray Wyatt just came back and him and LA Knight are like kind of working a feud right now. So it makes sense not to have them on right now, but a Bray Wyatt promo would have been pretty good here. I would have loved that, maybe. Johnny Gargano and Miz are currently in the middle of a feud, you know, a very funny one, might I add. Like, that would have been cool. Like, I don't know. I feel like they're doing really good at building a lot of different storylines that they could have added at least like one more match or... Like I said on the preview podcast, I really think that the AJ Styles and Finn Balor match suffered greatly from not having like the club and Judgment Day like officially in the match in some capacity. Like they really should have, at the bare minimum, they could have done a really good Survivor Series elimination match with those two teams. And I think I would have felt really great about it.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a lot of good points about who could have been on the show and what they could have been doing. I mean, my thing is, I was good with what we got. Like, you know, I feel like with the triple threat match for the U.S. Championship, that I'm eating my foot. Is that a thing you eat when you're wrong? Or
something like that.
You're Yeah,
like I'm putting eating, your mouth. Yep.
Yeah.
That's crow.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm eating crow. I'm eating my foot. I'm putting my foot in my mouth. I'm not even into that. And it is, you know, I said like 17 different times on our preview podcast, there's no way Austin Theory is winning here. He's here mm-hmm. to eat the pin. And he walked out as the winner. And I think that for me, I, you know, we'll get into everything. We'll go through it. But I was like, oh, OK, I like to be proven wrong. But yeah, I'm with you. The AJ Styles and Finn match, Ronda and Shotzi, and even that triple threat match, to me, you know, maybe the triple threat match was a little bit above the others. But for me, the first two was kind of like, what are we doing here? And I'm I'm glad they didn't put more on the card, because I think I would have just been upset that the show was too long.
Interesting. Okay, so let's get into Let's get into it match by match. First up was the women's war game match, Team Bianca, which was Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, and Mia Yim versus Team Damage Control, which was Bayley, Dakota Kai, Io Sky, Nikki Cross, and Rhea Ripley. Mm-hmm. This was a good way to kick off the show. And I thought it was a really good match. I just don't, I said it on the preview match. And then once it started, I was like, ugh. I feel like Team Damage Control should have won. But knowing that the Bloodline was going to win later on in the night, it makes sense that you don't want both heel teams to win. And then when the women open the show, you know, you always want to open the show with, you know, a pop. And then on top of that, when we did our preview podcast, we didn't know who the fifth member was. We speculated wildly about who the fifth member was.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if we said on the podcast, but the minute that it was Becky, it was kind of like, okay, they're really not going to lose.
Well, I mean, I remember on the podcast, we did bring up Becky and Charlotte and Candice LeRae and like Dana. I did mention Dana Brooke's name. And, you know, I still, because I think I was really thinking about this before the show, if not right after, I can't remember at this point. But, you know, you did talk about the shenanigans that would come up. And I really felt like because they were having Becky come out on Friday, that maybe they were looking to like soften the blow of Bayley's team going over and winning the match. And so I wasn't that convinced that Becky's team would win. And I think it could have been more interesting. Actually, no, it would have been more interesting if they lost. But hey,
I think so too.
But yeah, it is a super powered team, especially when you look at Bianca, like and Becky in particular, and then Mia Yim, even just in terms of her just returning.
Asuka's
like
is right there.
I mean her, I mean, yes, but you know, I mean against Bayley and Rhea, but then you have Dakota, Io, and Nikki, and it's like it's not really even.
I was convinced Nikki was there to take that pin, and she didn't even do that. She didn't even take the pin. Dakota took the pin, which I think you said, right? You were the one who said Dakota would take the pin.
That doesn't feel like a me thing. I don't know if I would have been that specific, to be fair.
Yeah, it might not have been you. But yeah, like it was... it was just
your other co-host. It was probably Sarah Carradine.
No, I'm pretty sure it was probably Havon, friend of the podcast. Okay, let's talk about the match itself. What did you think about the match itself? Going into it, Team Damage Control had the advantage. They had both teams that had the advantage lost at this pay-per-view. So
is it really even an advantage then?
It's an event. They say it's an advantage for like the first one, kind of, because like you get that 2-on-1 time, like that 2-on-1 time at the beginning of the match. But it doesn't matter. The match doesn't even start until all 10 people are in it a half an hour later. Uh-huh. So it doesn't even matter if you beat that person up 30 minutes ago.
I have a point to make here.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not an advantage to have, you know, the 2-on-1 or always have more of your team in the match, because what that means for the other team is that the last person to come in will be the freshest.
Mm-hmm. Very
think
true.
About there it. You go. Think about it. Think about it. So actually, though, I think it would be interesting to see, like, if they do war games again next year, it would be really interesting to see if they have the advantage and hype it up as if we didn't just see what happened this year in terms of it not really paying off.
Yeah, now I kind of want to go back and look at like the war games and see like if the team that had the advantage like actually like win, like what's the percentage of them winning?
That'd be hilarious if like they never win.
It's like 0%.
But like, I would actually, on this note, like before specifically getting into this match, I feel like war games is so overhyped just to start. And
really?
I'll get into what I like about it, but I feel like it's so overhyped. Like during the, it was actually during the entrances for this match when I think Michael Cole was on commentary and he's like, you know, Bliss is a war games rookie. And I'm like, girl, this is not the military. Like, this is not, this is not active duty in service. They're not even all wearing camo. And so for me, that was one thing where I'm like, okay, you're playing it on thick, but you have to appreciate that about WWE. Mm-hmm. I will say it's two rings. There's a cage. Like, it's not that different, but I like how much they built it up. And I wish everyone was wearing camo. And I like that, like, I like the little music and the themes and the things. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like it's overhyped, but they do a good job with what they presented. Like, they convinced me over the course of this match.
Yeah, I mean, I like War Games match. The thing you got to remember is, like, a good percentage of the main core WWE audience does not watch NXT. Like, I always forget that a lot of people don't watch NXT. Even when I'm like in and out of NXT, I forget that a lot of people just have no history or concept with it.
Yeah.
So that means some people have never seen a War Games match.
Yeah.
Like, again, love to bring up our guest, but Havan had never technically seen this new iteration of the War Games because he does not watch NXT. So he was like very excited to see like both the War Games and how they like started. So like from a fresh perspective of like never, you saw the ones in NXT, right, Matt?
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I know I did. I actually did.
Okay.
Sorry. No, that wasn't convincing, but yes, I did watch the War Games matches and I love them. And I think it's like, just to that point, it's cool that there was the, okay, looking at the match, like Bianca was in a War Games apparently, which I don't remember as much, but I know she was in one. And then Mia Yim was in one.
Mia Yim was in one. Yes.
Okay. And by the way, as I ask all this, everyone who's listening probably knows because they referenced it all a million times on commentary. Dakota has been in four, I believe.
This is her fourth. Yes, this is her fourth.
Io.
This is Io's third.
Nikki Cross, was she in any? Rhea was definitely in one.
Yeah, Rhea was in two.
Girl, why are we at, okay, this is a little too in the weeds for the wrestling we're happy, but yes,
like that, yeah.
But I think that was cool, that like everything made sense to me in terms of that. And I know you were kind of talking about people not knowing the history, but when you did know the history, Bianca and Dakota were the first two to enter the match as the two War Games veterans. Like, Dakota is more of a veteran in War Games than anyone else, and Bianca being Bianca, but also having experienced War Games.
She was the only one on her team who had been in.
Like, exactly. So it made sense for her to start. And then I love we'll get into it more and more, but I even just love the progression of who came out after each person. This women's match to me made so much sense. And I always get disappointed because I feel like we get the women's matches sometimes to start the show when this could have easily, maybe I would have had a different result, but this could have easily main evented.
Oh yeah, it could have main evented, but I don't mind the women's matches starting the shows because that means I can like not pay attention for like the rest of the show.
You know, that's exactly why I don't like the women's match starting the show, because then I tune out. Like, you don't want your best. Yeah. It's like eating the icing on the cake first.
Yeah. I don't like icing, you know, but I get your point.
I don't really either, but But you get it. Like, it's like, yeah, it's like eating the icing first. And then you're like, oh, what do I do with all the rest of this cake? Like, I just want, I want to eat the cake the way that it was meant to be eaten. You know what I'm saying, Mari? And that means best on last.
Yeah, I get it.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
We got Bianca and Dakota just going at it, which is nothing, you know, new, nothing like serious, because it's just a match. And when they first start off, it's just kind of like a match. Then
it's not a match. Let me just correct
it's
you
not
because
a match. You're right,
the match
you're
doesn't
right.
start until everyone's in the freaking ring. So that's the most that's the weirdest part to me about these War Games matches. But yes, start is just a match. Io comes out. So I like that Io was next because obviously she has the chemistry with Dakota. So it made sense logically. And then Asuka came out, which also makes sense based on their interactions. And things kept going and going and going. I don't know. Is there anything that you want to point out specifically, like just as the match kind of came along, in terms of how it made you feel?
Specifically, I really like the Asuka and Io segment. They gave them a little segment together that I liked. I think that I kind of was like, go more. Like, I kind of wanted them to like just like go out and go like full Joshi. But I felt like they were like trying to like rein it in because, again, this was the beginning of the match. Like, they can't go. You can't go full out in the beginning of the match knowing that you got to survive it for however many minutes or whatever. So I love the spotlight on them. Like, I don't know how we get to it, but please just give Io and Asuka a feud for the two of them. Let them speak Japanese through the whole feud. Like, I do not care. Subtitle it later. Like do what you did with that promo. Like, it was amazing watching the subtitles later because I felt like I got whatever emotion they were trying to give to me. Like, this is for people who don't mind watching foreign films like us. I know we're part of like team subs or dubs. Like, we don't really care. So I'm fine with grabbing, you know, feeling an emotion in the moment and then going back and seeing what the subtitles say. So I would really love that.
I'm with you. And you know what? I think the other thing is you really have to pay attention in a feud like that. You're like, oh, I need to watch the subs,
the body language,
and all the things. You need to really be tapped in. So that's the thing I appreciate about that most, but we'll get there. I mean, we're kind of getting the mini feud in there, but I really want the real feud. And also, I want another championship. Like, we have the women's championship, but let's get the women's mid-card championship in here. Like, where is it?
As much as I would love it, there's no point because the tag team titles are still not being defended. Like,
I don't even care because here's the thing. I'm okay with WWE giving up on the tag team championships in a way. Not really. Okay, I maybe I'm lying to myself, but in theory, I'm okay with it as long as they like invest in other championships for the women. I mean, I feel like the women need tag team championships just like every division, but you know, it would be nice to at least see some more championships. And I think that a singles championship for the women that's not the 24/7 championship would be really well received.
I'm just sick and tired of like the tag team champion, the tag team titles being used to prop up like a faction or
okay, Naomi. The main. Okay, Sasha.
What do you? I mean, yes, I agree. I agreed with it for why they walked out. Like, because especially for the women's division, because it's doing exactly what the men's titles are. Like the Usos are just propping up Roman, like they barely get their own feud. The New Day feud that they got, like that mini 2-week feud that they had with the New Day about the record, was like the best storyline, like with like outside of the Bloodline that they had. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it was all about the record, and it came too late. Like, I wish they had built it for like over a month, but I felt like they were like, oh yeah, we forgot. They're almost about to break your record. Like, it didn't make any sense. So
yeah,
no. I don't like it. And here, Damage Control has the titles, and it's just kind of supposed to be propping up their faction, but their faction keeps losing. So it's kind of like, what are we even doing here?
And it's a tough situation to be in, because it makes sense that Damage Control would have the tag team championships, but also because Bayley is intertwined in the women's championship mix, then it is a little bit murky kind of how things shake out. But, you know, I mean, I'm hopeful that things will change under this new era with Triple H, and maybe, you know, maybe everything that we're saying about Naomi and Sasha and the hopes that we have there, I'm hopeful that, because the more I think about it, they're, because of the limited number of women's championships here, like it would be nice to really, if we do get them back, to get them back in the tag picture. I could see us being beyond that at this point, but you know, like, that would be nice to have some championships in the middle. So I know this is a bigger discussion, and I also have a feeling that this discussion of this match and this division will be like a lot longer than everything else we talked about.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But
that's why we're taking our time.
Yeah, but you know, like, I'm with you. Like, they do need to work on their championships that they have, and if they add in another, I'd be really happy. Because the women could handle it. It's just that the booking is off.
Yeah, exactly. The win, like, they have so much talent there that they need to find creative ways to utilize all the talent. And I mean, this War Games match was really good in a way to do it. Like, Nikki comes out and starts throwing in all the random stuff. We noticed it was like the third person in each one of the matches was the one that like threw in all the like the garbage cans and the kendo sticks. Shit.
That's my favorite thing about War Games, probably, where I was like, ooh, I like this. Because, like, Nikki came out and threw in a bunch of kendo sticks and serving trays. And then the crowd was like, we want tables. And then there were no tables.
There are no tables for the women.
They got the table. They got a table.
Oh, they did. They did. They did.
It was Bayley who brought it, which is a funny choice to
the
me.
Men like, got the tables.
The heel bringing in the table. But.
That is the thing that I don't. Bayley brought in the tables last, right? So like the one thing that when we get like men's War Games versus women War Games on the same card, is like, you just know, and especially when they go first, it's like that's what triggers me more about them going first than anything. It's like, because they go first, they have to limit their moveset for what the men are going to do in the finale. That's what I personally hate, because I felt like there's more stunts that they could have tried, but that they can't, you know, they can't do everything, because we also need to save some stunts for the later match. So, but I think there's, you know, Nikki jumping off the cage is like, somebody's gonna jump off the cage. It, like, every War Games match, the women's, somebody's jumps off the top of that cage. And
honestly, of all people, like, we love Nikki Cross doing it onto her own teammates included, you know, like, a good Nikki Cross body, if you will.
And then who else jumped? Not, of course, Becky won with the leg drop from the cage, but somebody else jumped from the cage and was only caught by two people in that women's match. I was like,
it was Io.
Io, okay, yeah.
The moonsault, I think.
Onto Bianca and Becky, Bianca and
It was somebody
Mia?
Else. Mia? I don't remember, but it was Bianca.
Yeah, I think it was Bianca and Mia. I was like, geez, like that. Like, only two people catch you, and they did it perfectly. I love
it. Yeah, because like, I remember that specifically and Bianca being in it, because I saw her, like, grabbing her leg.
Oh, yeah.
These matches make me so nervous in terms of the injuries.
Bailey,
anything
too.
Could happen. There's a lot
something
of
action.
Oh, yeah, she had a moment, too.
Yeah, she had
was
a
also
moment,
probably grabbing her leg, right? And everyone seemed fine, but...
It's always so scary. Yeah.
Especially when there's so much happening. Like, I just feel like there's a lot more room for injury. But this match was so good. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody paired off so well with everyone else in terms of this match. And it was very balanced. And like you mentioned, Bailey coming out as like a really solid. Oh, no. So Nikki Cross came out. But after Nikki, who came out?
Alexa.
Your girl. You're exactly.
I totally forgot about her. I was like, wait, whose turn is it to come?
Yeah, and it made sense. Former tag team partners, then Bailey comes out, and then Mia Yim, aka Meechin.
Meechin. They were going back and forth with that. I was like, oh God.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Whatever.
Yeah.
We'll see. By the way, a side note, I have like, this is like the only match that I was like super invested in. So like, little things jump out to me thinking about it, but like Mia Yim could not get trash cans in the ring to save her life. She was struggling.
Those are hard. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, bless her heart. And then,
I had to remind myself that Rhea and Nikki were a tag team at one point. Remember?
Oh,
they were tag team champions.
Oh
yes,
crap. last year when Charlotte was involved in the mix too. yeah, so I mean, at the end of there was a lot of legacy here, a lot of history here, and you know, like Rhea even coming in and being like a solid choice to come in last for her team was great. She brings so much energy, and then of course Becky coming in last was cool. But for me, I will say that I wondered, will it be Mia Yim coming in last? Will it be Becky Lynch coming in last? And clearly they just went to Becky. But I think there was a chance to get Mia over even more and, go back to Becky. Everyone loves Becky.
Right. So great match overall. Like we said, Team Bianca wins because Bianca hits a KOD to Bailey, like into the cage, like knees first. I was like, Bianca,
not her knees.
I know. I was like, her surgically impaired knees.
Oh my God. Wait, the other thing with Bailey, speaking of her knees, Mia Yim at one point did and Corey Graves called it ugly but effective. She did like a dive from one ring to the other onto Bailey and basically landed on her knees. And I was like, no. If Mia Yim is responsible for any knee injuries for Bailey, I would never forgive her.
But, stop it.
I mean,
yeah, exactly. It was like Mia did like her spots in that match was definitely like she kept like jumping through the ropes and stuff. Like it was so funny when she was coming to the rink. Like Havan was like, what is her style? Like it was his first time seeing her too. And I was like, indie? Like I was like, she's TNA. Like, she's in like indie. She's like does everything. Like I don't know.
I know. I don't want to say. I never want to say anything bad about Mia Yim, but I'm always watching her. I want to love Mia Yim. I've always wanted to love Mia Yim.
There sounds like some negative stuff about
that. I just feel like honestly. Okay, wait. So let me say some positives. She's really nice, and she seems like a great person. And actually, you know, I love her outside of the ring. Now, but sometimes it's a little like it's effective, but it's not like the most beautiful. If you get what I'm saying,
I don't know. I don't personally agree. I think it might just be because she's back and she's just like with these people new afresh again. But I think when she was in NXT, she was doing her best work. Like her and Bianca's like NXT matches were like off the chain. You didn't like those? I don't like your face right now.
I liked the matches. I just always feel like with Mia, I'm like, I want to see more of her. I want to like see more of her personality and get to know her more and see like her be more comfortable. But I feel like I have yet to see her in like a truly comfortable zone, whether on the mic or in the ring in WWE. Yeah. I just want her to get like loose and have fun, you know?
She has never had, she has never had like a good opportunity in WWE.
Exactly.
Like never like a good, like honestly, again, her and Bianca's run, it was when they were both, when they both were starting out and it was the two of them. I think that was her best feud and that was Bianca's best feud at the time, because the way that they talk to each other, because Miriam is like half black. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
that's
with Keith Lee also in the mix and everything. Because I remember there was a little bit of that at the time. I think that we were seeing
they faced each other like three times.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember this moment too.
And she was like the baddie, and it was when Bianca was still a bat. It was when Bianca was a heel. Like it was really good. It's like it was like where we got like and like all of the undefeated stuff. Like that was the best feud that they had, but because they weren't feuding for the title, like a lot of people forget it. But that was like that was both of theirs like first main feud. The two of them were their first main feud, and because it went over so well the first time, they like kept feuding.
Mari, talking out loud about this though, if you ever see any interviews with Mia Yim, like out of character, obviously, send them to me, because I feel like I'm seeing the nerves. I feel like I'm seeing like the, okay, just getting comfortable again. Mm-hmm. In the WWE, especially where things didn't really work out for her the last time.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm picking up on the nerves. It'll probably come up in interviews, but I'm so excited for her to thrive. And I hope that Triple H like really pushes her to the moon, to the championship, because she does have a lot to bring.
I agree. You know, And I think I think that's why this women's war game match really worked, because a lot of the women in here are like Triple H, like loved them. We can sit here and argue though about like Bianca and how he handled Bianca in NXT and how like it wasn't great and how it took Vince McMahon to like really strap the rocket to Bianca's back.
That is kind of funny.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? But the biggest thing is, I think it's just like you said, the nerves and getting reacquainted. I think I just have a soft spot for her, because I also watch her like her Twitch streams and stuff like that. So I know how much like a cool person she is and how like chill and stuff like she is. And I agree with you. I think she just has never gotten that platform. So I'm really excited to see what happens with her. And a lot of the women in this match, like I think this is the biggest question for me. Before we move on, like, where do we go from here? Because Damage Control is lost. Becky pinned Dakota. Like, Becky's back, but she kind of debuted on SmackDown. So is she on SmackDown? Like, what does Bayley do from here? Because honestly, I can't you can't justify giving Bayley like another championship, like another champion, like a run at the championship. So,
well, Mari, I think that that was such a sassy, well, Mari, I will say, I think the next pay-per-view is Royal Rumble. And that means the road to WrestleMania. So everything in my mind is what is the path to WrestleMania from here? Right. So we have Ronda on one side with her championship. We have Bianca with her championship. We have Damage Control with their championships. So I would imagine that they're all going to be defending at the WrestleMania. I don't think I expect for there to be like another women's match on top of it. But who knows what they'll do. But so I'm like, okay, Damage Control, like maybe there's a world where we do see Naomi and Sasha come back and take them on. Who knows? Maybe there's a world where but see, it's just, it sucks no matter how you break it down, because there are so few. This has been the problem for as long as time, like so few women's spots in terms of the championships. And I just don't, I want more.
So for me, if I were to book WrestleMania right now, right?
Yeah.
It would be, it's starting with Bayley. Like Bayley is like, you know, Bayley could try and talk her mess and Bianca be like, girl, get to the back of the line. If you want to earn this, if you want to earn another title shot, win the Rumble. So mm-hmm. you have Bayley set her sights on winning the Rumble, right? But I think if Becky comes back to SmackDown, it makes more sense. I think we talked about it on the preview. Yeah. It makes more sense for Becky and Ronda to probably face each other at WrestleMania because they quote unquote have unfinished business. Mm-hmm. And then if Charlotte comes back, I think Charlotte would face Bianca because Charlotte
will win the Rumble.
So that's the thing. I don't know. I like the way that goes. That means either Charlotte or Becky, or Ronda, I guess, would all have to either win the Rumble again, which none of that sounds great to me personally. But if we're just going by like storylines that make sense, I think you give Charlotte Bianca because that is the one horsewoman that Bianca has not beaten. Sure. And then if you get Sasha coming back, I would want Sasha to win the Rumble, but that doesn't make sense for our current champions unless it's Sasha going over Ronda. And I would be very surprised if they put Sasha and Ronda in a feud together, especially the way like what we hear about Sasha's walkout and stuff like that. So like, I don't know if that's where you go. I don't think that's where you go.
Sasha is not going to win the Rumble, though, even if she did come back, because I feel like, if I'm in the locker room, you know, as much as I might support Sasha, if I'm one of the other women in the locker room, I'm thinking, you walked out.
Right.
You walked out and I've been here, mm-hmm. you know, busting my ass, doing my thing. So I just don't feel like they would put her in the, and I don't even know if she'd want to be in the position to come back and win the Women's Rumble when another woman would have had that spot if she didn't come back. Right.
So that's why my thinking is Sasha comes back at the Rumble, but her and Bayley cost each other the match. Mm. And then we get Sasha versus Bayley at WrestleMania non-title to steal the show.
I'll take it.
I think that's what I get. So if to me, then you'd have Becky versus Ronda, Charlotte versus Bianca, and then Sasha versus Bayley. And then you got to figure out what your tag team matches are. I kind of hate it
because they're all the other women. It's like, what happens to all the other women? Shotzi.
Shotzi and Raquel.
Sorry, my list ended very quickly.
Yeah, I was about to say, are Shotzi and Raquel like really going to do this tag team thing? Maybe. I don't know. Let's move on.
We've been here too long.
This is us stretching.
No, we are not stretching though. Like, we could talk about the women's division forever and speculate. Honestly, this is the time when we should start to speculate, but I think we'll speculate more next week.
Yeah, we're cutting into our like what we're gonna be talking about next week.
We're just having a conversation. Well,
yes, we are. And yeah, and I love
that's
it.
What happens. But yeah, so match ended, leg drop. Table, women, like that's the thing. I will say it was kind of boring to see the faces standing there, like, yay, we're happy and we're gonna dance to Becky's music. Yay. It's like, come on, like, I want action, I want drama, I want more, I want more.
So then we get Finn Balor versus AJ Styles, and this match, I guess I felt bad for them because they came after that really like hot women's match. So I was like, okay, cool. But also the match was, I'm sorry, it was boring to me. It was like mad boring. Like, I'm sorry. It was boring to me. Like, I get it. It's Finn versus AJ. They have all this history, all of this backstory. They're such good wrestlers and they were good. It was good wrestling. It was some wrestling, it was so boring because like, I'm sorry. This is a feud of Judgment Day versus the OC. And I wanted to see more Dominic getting his butt beat. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, this is what I came for. And so then I was also wondering, I was like, like, okay, Rey and Mia were just in that last match. They tore the house down. I said, do they limp out here and like try and become factors? Because what's the point of going out and getting Mia to solve the Rhea Ripley problem when the solving was just put them both in a different match?
But the problem was solved, Mari, because kind of to what you just said, Rey not being there, I mean, that is the X factor, because the Judgment Day, Finn specifically did not win.
And I specifically, and so when the OC and Judgment Day got thrown out from ringside, I was like, okay, this would be the perfect time. Have Rhea Ripley come out, like, even if she's still selling a few injuries, have her trying to come out and interfere with the match, and then have Mia kind of limp out after her and chase her out. Like, something as simple as that. They didn't even have to, like, really even get physical.
I mean, Rhea was probably okay. I think Rhea carried, I think she carried Io out after the match or something like that. I think Rhea was on her feet at the end of the War Games match, as of course Mia Yim was. So they could have shown up here.
Bandage up an arm or some shit. Like,
your ribs.
Yeah, of course. Always the ribs. Yeah, yeah.
Always the ribs. It's
you. I don't even know if that's how you like properly like actually wrap ribs. If ribs are actually if my hurting,
ribs are hurting, do I just wrap them up?
But wrapping it with gauze is gonna help.
I'll try it. Not the most exciting match, and I'm just thinking. The thing is, the Judgment Day and the OC kind of became eliminated from the action early on when they brawled out through the crowd. And then that was that. We did get a lot of Finn Balor and AJ Styles references on commentary. This match was for a certain type of fan, especially. Yes. And
yes, there was.
I think a fan who's very tapped in, like... someone who definitely was following along in Japan. It's a great match no matter what, but it's a lot better if you have that backstory. Michael Cole gave us a lot of those details. I had to be there.
I had to be there, exactly, and I wasn't. So
I wasn't.
And it's fine. It was, like I said, it was an acceptable match. Like, it was whatever. It was cool. Just wasn't for me. All the heat is on Dominic. Like, you're not going to try and get me to root for AJ Styles over Finn Balor. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. I will also say, I think Finn might've been the one who was saying like, I'm the devil. I think that was him.
Yeah.
I get so confused because everyone in wrestling, actually not everyone, but like MJF. This is literally the main person who's claiming to be the devil in wrestling. Yep. So for me, I'm like, just watch the other product and don't repeat what they're doing, Finn. But
it's whatever.
Yeah, not a lot to say.
Next up, we had Ronda. And so I know we wanted to talk about the match times, too. The women's Wargame match technically was the longest match by a minute.
About 40 minutes or 39:40 is what Wikipedia says. Those times are not exact, but they are pretty close. So 39:40 for the women's.
And then the AJ Styles Finn Balor match was the longest, like
1825
match. 1825. And that's what I'm saying. Like, that one, like, definitely dragged to me. Like, and that, like, that 18 minutes could have been used with a six-man tag.
Okay, for me personally. I felt like this next match, Ronda Rousey versus Shotzi for the SmackDown Women's Championship, was actually a little bit too short for Shotzi's sake. For Shotzi's sake, because that was only 7 minutes, 15 seconds or so, 7.5 minutes or so. And a lot happened in it. It was quick. I just wish Shotzi had more of a chance to, you know, establish herself rather than getting eaten by Ronda.
I don't advocate for short women's matches, but Ronda matches, I advocate for short Ronda Rousey matches.
2 to 3 more minutes. That's all I want.
I guess it's just frustrating because, you know, Shotzi's not going to win. She's not going to win. Like, we're not here. Like, she's not going to win. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, And then the even frustrating part is, even when you know she's not going to win, there Ronda does not help make her look good in loss. So, like you said, it's like poor shot. I come out of this like poor Shotzi. She looked dumb in this match.
She did lose. And the thing is, though, they squeezed in a lot into 7 minutes. Like, there was one spot in particular that jumped out to me where Shotzi basically did a crossbody into the crowd onto Ronda and Shayna, taking out three, like...
three plants in the audience.
Yeah, well, yeah, just like three coincidentally muscular, large men sitting side by side with nobody behind them in the crowd. Yeah. And then they showed it again. And I'm like, that's a lawsuit. Like, if that actually happened, you are cutting away.
I thought it was funny how, like, the men, when they landed, they were like kind of obscuring their faces. I'm like, probably because they're local wrestlers that some of us might know.
They're like, oh no, I'm so embarrassed. I got a crossbody by. I know. I thought that was the funny, a funny kind of spot. But I mean, again, in my mind, just a couple more minutes of Shotzi dominating and posing and letting the crowd cheer for her. Like, I think that would have added a little bit just to her. Like, give her a little bit, a few more moments here. But
yeah,
I knew she wasn't gonna win. That's okay. No hate.
Yeah. It's so funny because some people think like Shotzi got too much offense in. Some people thought you think she got not enough in. I just was like, I hated the fact that she had to deal with both Ronda and Shayna Baszler. You know, like it was just like it was just doomed from the start at that point. And then apparently the crowd started chanting, "We want Sasha" at one point. So like it was. I feel bad. Like, I truly feel bad when, like, women's matches, like, aren't treated with respect. But it's so hard for me. It's, like, even hard for me to, like, respect a champion that I feel like doesn't respect the business and doesn't care about their opponent. Like, with women's matches, they always nitpick it with, like, the quote-unquote botches and the moves and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But there really was one move where Ronda just sandbagged the hell out of Shotzi. And it was, like, an apron move that... She sandbagged Shotzi. She didn't want to. She basically looked like she didn't want to bump. Like, it looked like Ronda did not want to bump for Shotzi. And that's what made the match look so like disjointed and like really weird. Like, really weird. I couldn't even appreciate that like Ronda was kind of like catching Shotzi into different like moves. Like when Shotzi was trying to do an enziguri, she like caught her into an ankle lock. Or when she tried to do like the Jeff Hardy like double legs to the midsection, Ronda caught it and flipped it over. Like those are like some really cool spots, like showing that like, oh, Ronda knows so many submissions and stuff like that. But the rest of it was just so, it just felt so like out of whack, which has been my complaint with every single Ronda match this year. And it's just, I'm just tired. Like, I'm tired.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I just don't, here's the thing. Ronda Rousey, I feel like I'm the one, Mari, who just like, I bring up how big of a star Ronda Rousey is. She should not be wrestling this much. Give her like a Logan Paul schedule or something where people actually will appreciate it. But the thing is, I mean,
but she has to wrestle like Logan Paul, though, Matt. That's the thing. Like, I mean, she has to wrestle like Logan Paul.
She could. I believe that she could because the practice. That's all you need. Just practice a match for 3 months straight and you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. She'll be fine. But I just don't understand. Like, there's not a lot of value to anybody in a Shotzi versus Ronda match unless it's building up Shotzi, but it's not even really doing that. So why are we doing this? I don't want to see Ronda Rousey or anyone else get like injured in this type. Like, just give her matches that matter and make money, but this isn't making money, so I'm confusion.
Exactly.
Anything else about this people I was gonna say this match or these people?
No.
Okay. Nope. Good, because I got nothing. But good luck to Shotzi in her future endeavors.
Good luck. Future endeavoring her. Jesus, Matt.
No, I mean in the company.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Next up, we have the triple threat for the U.S. championship match. So
this was kind of fun.
This was actually very fun. Seth as the champion, Bobby Lashley as the former champion, and then Austin Theory as the person who failed that cash in. They come into this match. This match was really weird because it was fun, but it's like all the styles are like kind of like, what is happening here? But it actually worked to be like really fast paced. It felt like everybody was like actually like really mad at each other.
Yeah. And I love that I was so convinced that Austin Theory didn't stand a chance. And I just love a match where the result, like, nobody would have bet on Austin Theory here in this match. Mm-hmm. And again, like, it's a world where Seth could pin Theory or Lashley could pin Theory and it works out and that you switch the championships that way. I like how he won. I like that he won.
Yeah.
I like that they're not fully giving up on him as a character, because we have had him shoved down our throats for better or worse over the last year since the egg thing last year at Survivor Series, when Vince McMahon was rubbing his egg with Austin Theory standing there. It was odd, very strange. But I like that they didn't, like, we saw the failed cash in. That was a disaster. I'm just glad that they didn't have him lose here again, because then it makes the cash in look even worse. Like, to me, I like that he was able to win the championship by being a little crafty. It wasn't like it wasn't his wrestling acumen that got him the win. It was just like good timing and getting the three count. And that happens. And I like that for him. You know, it fits his character.
I mean, I hated the call, but that's the whole point, right? Like, I was like, damn it, Austin Theory won. I really wanted Bobby Lashley to win it, because I think we both agreed that taking it off of Seth kind of frees Seth up. Damn it, if Seth doesn't go out there and put on a great freaking match, like, he's so good. But anyways, so that in combination was just like, it was so ridiculous.
The spear from the...
Yes.
So are you going to describe it?
Yeah. So Seth was doing the Falcon Arrow, right? Like he was doing the Falcon Arrow. He had Austin Theory up to finish the Falcon Arrow. So he had him in like what do you call that? The pile driver.
He had him in like the
Goldberg.
It's kind of like the jackhammer type.
The jackhammer. There it is.
Legs are straight up in the air, and you have them up, kind of like holding him up in that position.
Yeah, exactly. And so Bobby Lashley speared Rollins while Theory was still up in the air. So like Seth crumples to the ground, and Theory falls on top of him and scores the three count, because Bobby like rolls out of the ring
when he had
spear. It was so, that was like the craziest thing I've ever seen. It was so good. And then Rollins jumping off of Theory's back to hit like the curb stomp and stuff like that too. It was such a fun match. It was just like, I love when there's a base in there. Bobby Lashley is a perfect base, and it's just two guys like Theory and Seth just jumping around. It was really good.
And by the way, Edmo, shout out to Edmo.
Yeah,
in the Facebook group, and the job has a Squadcast Facebook group, mentioned Austin Theory winning the title was an absolute shocker, but I love
so
it.
Shocked.
Love being surprised like that. And yes, Edmo, that's what I'm saying. I love being surprised like that. And I love being wrong.
I honestly hate when WWE does like the audience reactions for stuff, like, except for when it's like genuine, like the audience reactions for Austin winning, like Theory winning was like crazy. Like everyone was like,
Nowadays, yeah. Speaking of which, by the way, Mari, and not to go into this because this could be its own episode, but at first, I feel like there was an era where we got like the genuine crowd reactions, and then people started to see like, "Ooh, I need to have a big reaction so that I could be a meme." And now we love a genuine shocker and confusion, and that was this, I believe. So we like.
I agree.
Good job.
That was my favorite match that wasn't a War Games match in the night. But I think,
Same.
Yeah, I know.
Easily same.
As much as I love going with the women, I think this was my favorite match of the night, though.
What are you doing?
I know. I'm a traitor. The men's War Game match, where it was Team Bloodline, which was Roman Reigns, Jimmy and Jey Uso, Solo Sikoa, and Sami Zayn. Sami Uso versus the team Brawling Brutes with Sheamus, Butch, Ridge Holland, Drew McIntyre, and Kevin Owens. Their War Game match. I'm sorry. This match was so freaking good. And I think it's because they did a really good job of building it up throughout the pay-per-view. Like whenever the only vignettes we had through the night or backstage segments we had during the night was this Bloodline thing about like Jay telling Roman, like, yo, I heard Kevin Owens telling Sammy to turn on us. What are we going to do about it? To Roman Reigns. And Roman talking to Sammy, and Sammy's like, no, yeah, he talked at me. I'm going to prove to you that I'm going to be a Uso and stuff. I feel like it telegraphed the ending. However, the execution was still like amazing. And honestly, I was like, why are we, you know, Jay comes back to Roman. So, what'd he say? Well, you know, and I'm like, y'all have a TV. Like Roman could just watch what Roman could watch what was said. We all saw it.
No, Mari. If you really think about it, though, like they're so busy. That's the thing. They're going from the arena. They get there, I'm sure, early in the day. The, you know, SmackDown ends pretty late. They just want to go home and go to sleep. Then you want to wake up. You go to the gym. You're not watching the show back because it's probably not uploaded onto Hulu by that time that they're at the gym. So, you know, they kind of go to the gym, end up at the show. Honestly, I could imagine there not being enough time to watch the show. So maybe he didn't get to see it. And,
if you say so. And
sometimes when you're driving from city to city, I'm just saying, like, the Wi-Fi connection might not be the strongest. The data might not be the strongest. So maybe he didn't get to watch it on YouTube either. So I'm with you. I just feel like you're right. But it's, the match to me was so intriguing, and the Sami Zayn dynamic was so intriguing, but because they built it up throughout the show. Yeah. And I feel like 2 weeks ago, we were not at this place where it was like, will Sami turn on us? Like, it was really this past SmackDown with KO and that moment that they had that I think kind of sold it. I wonder if there was a question about whether Kevin Owens would be ready to compete, because I believe he was like minorly injured a couple weeks ago, but it was still able to compete. So I wonder if like they might have built that up a little longer. But
so I feel like it was kind of a continuation of the storyline. It was like another layer of the storyline, right? Totally. Because between Jay and Sammy, Jay was always just like, you're not one of us. You're not, you know, it was just kind of like, why are y'all accepting him? He's not one of us. Like, you know, Jay not liking Sammy's positioning in the group.
Yeah.
And I think it wasn't until KO comes back that then Jay can use that as like, see, look, he can turn on us. Look, him and his friend, like now he can, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it was just another level of suspicion that Jay was trying to use to kind of get Sammy like kicked out of the group.
That's so rude and hateful, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, just because he's not related by blood doesn't mean you should kick him out. I don't appreciate that. I just don't like that energy. I don't like how, I don't like those vibes. We have to be more inclusive.
I got you. But I like that I like that it put a little bit of doubt into us, even though, again, when you put that doubt into the audience to almost expect the audience for him to turn, then you know that he's kind of not. But then again, I never expected him to turn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked a lot of the infighting within the cage, like them accidentally super kick Sammy at one point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, like we said on the preview, this was all about the infighting on the bloodline. I could care less what Ridge Holland was doing in the middle of that War Games match half the time. Like, you know, whatever. Drew came off looking really good as always. And of course, KO had the shining moment. Him and Sammy just, god damn it, if y'all don't just fight forever, please. Like, just so amazing. And whenever Sammy hits the Huluva kick, it is just, I just love it. And it's just so beautiful. And Kevin takes it perfectly, laying into his arms of it all. And but you know what I'm saying? Like, this should have been like a train wreck match. Like, it should have just been kind of like, you know, kind of just a massive amount of just carnage. And yet, there was like a lot of emotion in there.
Yeah. Like, sometimes we just expect it to be a lot of meat. But, mm-hmm. you know, when you get emotion with your meat, that's
potatoes.
What it's all about.
Yeah. Potatoes. The emotion is the potato. Anyways. I really liked it. You know, he laid Kevin out so that Jay could deliver the frog splash and then the big hugs. And oh my god, I love the Bloodline's like attire too. I love how they all match and just literally it was bright red blood, like mm-hmm. blood red outfits. I liked how when Roman came in, it was like the two teams on both sides. Mm-hmm. That men's War Game match was really well built. It really was. I know. Yeah. I know you hate to say.
No, I mean, I'm just annoyed because I want to see the women.
You want the same. Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, Stephanie McMahon, to bring her into this, back in the day. God. And actually, there used to be this this video they'd play of Stephanie talking about the women's evolution/revolution. And she was like, oh, the women and their, it was a word. She said like their preternatural skills or some freaking word like natural. That I still don't mm-hmm. know. Thank you, Mari. Mm-hmm. The professional. Yes, preternatural skills. I don't even know the definition of that, but I like the women and the preternatural skills. Otherworldly. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Miss Dictionary Fourth. Yeah, but I just am always waiting for that. But you know what? This match was strong, and I'm just bitter that my faves went on first.
Yeah, I know. I know you are.
I like to wait.
Yeah. Oof. So it was, we'll leave the speculation for the next episode.
We're not going to speculate about this match, but I will say I do want to know why people don't just go in low blows, you know. Low blows left and right, because if it's me in a match like this, I'm low blowing from the bell, from the initial
kind
bell.
Of like remember when Shinsuke's whole gimmick like
AJ. AJ every single.
I don't know why I love that.
I would just start that. Yeah, I know. They actually did have some matches where they were just going back and forth, like kicking, punching.
It should not have been that funny. It should not have been that funny. But I think Twitter kind of made it even funnier, because every time Nakamura like was low blow AJ, they were like, yes, do that so that AJ stops having all these kids. Because I think AJ has like a crap ton of kids.
Okay, but he doesn't have as many as Nick Cannon. So like, why?
Exactly.
I mean, if only we really had that comparison.
I used to love that version of Shinsuke. Okay. All right. Anyways, that's it. That's it for our Survivor Series review podcast. Uh-huh. There will be no clips in the show notes, y'all, because we're reviewing the pay-per-view itself.
Yeah, watch the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Sign up for Peacock.
Listen to us.
We need a promo code with Peacock.
Yeah, if they pay us, they're not paying us to do this, y'all. So anyways,
we are being paid to do this.
I mean, we are, but not by Peacock.
You always have to remind me how they still don't care about us over the WWE, but it's okay.
I do. But that's it. And Matt, can you tell the people where to find you?
Fine. You can find me here at home podcasting. That's typically where I podcast from. Mm-hmm. You could find me at Matt Scott GW on the social platforms, still on Twitter, baby. And, you know, lots of interesting things. You'll see, I mentioned on the last week's episode, I think it was last week's episode, that there was something coming up on post-show recaps where you could see me. So again, follow me, Matt Scott GW, for that. There should be more Pod Friends coming up, right? Interview people in the Rob Pizza Podcast universe. And I'm about to actually do a bunch of those interviews. So keep an eye out for that. But again, Matt Scott GW is the best place to find me. And I have, as of at least now, a link in my bio where you could subscribe to all the things and check out the different things. So that's that, you know, nothing else really exciting other than listening to you, Mari, on Crime Scene and on all the other things that you're doing. But Mari, speaking of all the things that you're doing, where can the people find you?
Of course, you can find me on Twitter still at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. Every week, me and Sarah Carity bring True Crime Tuesdays to RHAP with our Crime Scene podcast. This past week, we talked about I Am Vanessa Guillen.
Again,
it's a very great documentary on Netflix. Check it out. Very like soul searching and very like,
wow.
Just so deep. And we had amazing guests on Ariel F. and Marissa Garza. But coming up this week on Crime Scene, we'll be doing the GameStop documentary. Eat the Rich, about the whole GameStop, like how people made the money and all of that. And we have the fantastic guest, Jason Reed, back on with us to talk about like how GameStop helped like internet people make money, basically.
Yeah, like Cameron Grimes from NXT.
Yes, like Cameron
Grimes. Exactly. He made all of his money. His whole gimmick came from GameStop, basically.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. So go check that out by going to robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed in order to subscribe to Crime Scene. And of course, you can find me here every week with Matt Scott on the Wrestling Wrap Up podcast. Please go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed to subscribe if you haven't already done so. If you haven't done so, what's up?
Why are you a hater?
Yeah, go subscribe.
Yeah.
And please rate and review. Give us five stars wherever you listen to your podcast. I know, because you were, anyways.
I was doing a spin-a-rooney just so everyone knows.
You can also go and watch our video podcast by going to YouTube. The Rob Has a Podcast YouTube, search Wrestling Wrap Up, and you can find us all of our video podcasts there. Course, it is always the best time as any to go sign up to be on the patron, to be a patron for RHAP. You can go to www.patreon.com/RHAP to become a patron, where you can get exclusive access to like really nice exclusive podcast, patron video, video games. Jesus, it's
you
late.
You can do anything. Honestly, it's all exclusive though, Mari. Like,
yes,
you get that
we
podcast,
can't tell you what it
you
is.
Get some games, you get some access. There's some fun stuff.
There's a Facebook group.
Fun stuff. There's a Facebook
Discord.
Group. There's interaction. There are discounts. There are tickets that you get access to before everyone else. Like, let me tell you, if you are not a patron of Rob as a podcast, what are you waiting for?
Exactly. Feel free to always send us an email to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. Also tweet at us by using @WrestlingRehapUp. That's @WrestlingRHAPUP. And you can actually use the tag #WrestlingRehapUp, RHAPUP. That's it. I'm tired. We're done. For me and Matt Scott, remember, wrestling is for everybody, but not all wrestling is for everyone. Bye. 1, 2, 3.
Don't him up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every week and it's feeling like a party. Full of Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flex it in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw him up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every week and it's feeling like a party.
We just amazing.